Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, lather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Douche Canoe Wiley. How are you doing, sir?
Douche Canoe. Why? Every time? Why?
It's not every time. I'm actually going to get rid of these ones and I'm going to bring new ones up this one.
You're going to need a bigger thesaurus.
I am going to need a bigger
thesaurus. Doing good. I, you know, struggling with liver damage right about now. But other than that, I'm alive temporarily and kicking.
What do you mean liver damage?
I think I've ingested so many substances over the past, 6 days that I can actually feel my liver working.
You can actually feel your liver working?
Yeah, and it's at about 12%, I'm thinking.
So hold on, where were you to cause all this?
Well, let me just put it this way. I haven't shotgunned this many beers since Reagan was in office.
Oh, my God.
I spent time on a college campus tailgating before a rivalry game with my son, who turned 21 this week.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Who was UCF playing?
USF.
Who won?
Oh, UCF blew him away.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was like 34-7. Which is that's a tough game for me. I tell you what, I've been a USF fan since they got a team, essentially. So it, you know, that's always been my go to team is USF. Now that my son's at UCF, he expects me to cheer for them, and it's I just clap politely during the game. it's very challenging for me.
Okay, so.
But yeah, well, also last night we had some friends in town from Chicago, and we were out partying with them. And yeah, just literally every day since like Tuesday has been nonstop eating and drinking, and it's catching up with me.
Well, this is one of those weeks where it happens. Danielle is in the studio with us as well. Danielle, how are you doing?
I'm good. My liver is functioning perfectly well, though.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, but, I will say,
and yeah. Also, go Knights.
Go Knights. Yeah.
I have a kid at UCF too.
That's what I was doing. I was giving the bulls horns and saying go Knights and just confusing the hell out of people.
Well, you know, this is one of those weeks though where there's a lot of different things that are happening, and there's a lot of people on vacation, so you got people coming into town because we live in Florida, so everybody comes here.
Right.
You
know? Right.
So we have a lot going on in that aspect. One of the things, did you happen to go out for Black Friday?
No, well, yes. I mean, I was on the road, and we were at the game Friday night. So the game was Friday night.
Oh, it's a Friday night game.
But no, not shopping. I avoided malls like the plague. But I understand that it wasn't quite as crazy as it normally is.
No, I don't think it was. I think that you have stores that I think there's a combination of things going on. One, I think that stores are learning their lesson. And so they're trying to change up how they do it a little bit more. And two, I think less people are going out.
I think that's the bigger factor. I think more people are saying, screw it, Amazon, drop them off to me.
Well, in places like Walmart, everybody, if you're on their mailing list, you got an email saying that most of the Black Friday sales you could get Thursday night online.
Right.
But there was a few things like TVs. If you wanted a TV, you were still having to go in. But all the computers, all of that, you could get online for the same price.
Well, you know, I think most people don't necessarily want the TV. They just want the opportunity to like punch and kick and stab people, a TV.
I wanted the TV.
Oh, did you want the TV?
No. Okay. I totally went out.
Because
yeah.
I think, to me, Black Friday is more about the violence than anything else. You know? I mean, we need to get back to our roots here and really just celebrate the violence.
So hold on. Let me see if I get this right, though. So you think that this is one of those things where we're no longer hunter-gatherers, really? And so this is the closest thing to hunter-gathering that we can do?
Without question. Absolutely. It's some weird type of, deep suppressed instinct that people are exercising at that time. You know?
That's interesting. That's a very interesting thought, by the way, that you have on this.
Yeah, yeah. But the other interesting part is if we lived in, you know, more tribal societies, we would be working together against other tribes. So, you know, potentially, I think really if we exercised it properly, instead of just Black Friday being a day of localized violence and chaos, we could actually turn it into tribal warfare, which would be, you know, I think a much better outlet for the people. We could really raise the death toll on it and you know, turn it into something that's a much more festive for the holiday season.
So are you thinking that we should combine like Black Friday like with the Purge?
Yes.
So it should be like Purge Black Friday.
Well, I think what we should do is like we should, you know, muster groups on either side of the parking lot, you know, so instead of like, you know, individuals fighting for a TV, what we would have is we could just have a full out war
The TV.
And then whoever is left, all the remaining survivors, you know, to fight to the death for everyone. And then the tribe with the remaining survivors gets all the TVs. You know, I think that's a better way to go.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah,
it is an interesting concept.
I actually drug Alex out.
Yeah.
I never go out normally.
He's never done
but
it.
This year I went out for a couple reasons, though. One of them is that I kind of just wanted to see what was going on anyway. Two, I like, how good are the deals? And like, you can see the deals like online and stuff like that. But unless you're really, really there, I don't even think it does it justice of how good the deals could actually be. Because there's a lot of deals on stuff that they don't really advertise as much. But and then the other reason is that I know that Danielle was going out by herself. And so part of me was like, well, I should probably go out with her just because, you know, like she can't go out by herself.
Right.
So we did go
She's
out.
She's small. She would not do well in the tribal warfare.
Well, here's the thing. I think that she'd be a very feisty person.
Right.
But she could be trampled easily, though.
Well, did you have your candy cane shank with you?
No.
Because that's always a good thing to have. You know, you take the candy cane, you suck it down to a point, and now it's a shank.
Yeah.
And it's got a perfect little handle,
too. You know they give you snacks in line.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anything that can be weaponized.
No. It was like an organic, like,
some of that stuff could have been
weaponized. You know,
some of that stuff could have been weaponized.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There could have been a couple weapons out of that.
But yeah, like that's how the stores have evolved to where like now to keep everybody calm in line, they hand out snacks. They're, you know,
they give you updates.
They give you updates constantly. So you're standing in line, but there's always someone coming out. So nobody's like getting too anxious and like, I have to get in there.
I wonder if there's like a little THC or Valium in this next
I don't know. Well, I didn't have it. Alex had his.
Keep you nice and calm. Yeah.
It seemed all right.
But no, it was really like, and then for any of the big ticket items, like one, like the TV that I wanted, they actually they just hand out tickets. And if you don't have that ticket, you're not getting one. So there's no fighting over it when you get there because they have 18.
Well, there's
they
fighting over some stuff.
There's fighting over some stuff, but not that stuff.
Then what's the point?
Because I wanted the TV.
Well, couldn't you just order it online?
No, not at that price.
Really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, give them the size of the TV and the price.
Okay, so it was like $250.
Right.
And it's a 65-inch TV.
Isn't that what they normally run?
No, they're normally about $500.
Are they really?
Yeah, the cheapest ones
think
are
about
like $500.
It's a 65-inch.
65-inch TV.
Okay.
Like, that's a big TV.
It's huge.
Okay.
And so we've been wanting to get one of these TVs for probably like 3 years. And it's between $500 and $800 to get one.
Right.
And we just haven't had that kind of money. But at $250,
right,
I was like, all right, we're getting a TV.
Well, there you go. And did you go in the smart car to get it?
No. It was a 65-inch TV.
That would have been so humorous to me.
I don't think there's any way to do it in a smart car.
No.
I don't even think you could strap it on top because the roof is not big enough.
No. Well, and it's a convertible,
tough.
So it's like,
oh, yeah,
you know, the roof isn't stable. No, but we did go out, and I was very happy. Alex went with me, but we did, like, Target was easy. They give out tickets. They give out snacks. It's, like, very orderly. They have people
Well,
there.
When were you in line? What time?
They open at 5, so we got in line at about 4:30.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No.
5 p.m.
5 p.m.
Oh, okay.
On Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we got there about 4:30, and then...
They open at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hell is that all about?
Well, it's like the pre-sale.
Is that how they do it now?
Yeah.
No. That's just... But here's the thing, though. This is what they're doing, though. That's another way to mitigate the amount of people coming in at one time.
Right.
Because instead of it only being at 6 a.m., they run the deals twice.
Oh, so they put aside a certain amount for Thursday, a certain amount for Friday.
Yeah.
It all just seems silly to me.
Well, it's all just consumerism. I mean, you know.
I like gang fights much better.
Well, I'm sure you do.
But yeah. Then we went to Walmart.
Yeah.
And it actually was not bad, except they don't
Walmart.
Yeah, well, it's Walmart. But they didn't put, like, everything that was on sale was in bins in the middle of the aisles.
Right.
Nothing was on shelves.
Right.
Just big bins in the middle of the aisles.
All taped up.
All taped up.
And they let right. everybody in
because
the store.
Everybody can come in, and then you like stand in front of the big box
that
you want.
I saw that because on Wednesday I had to go to Home Depot for something,
and they had the
and
pallets.
They had like in the middle of the aisles there were pallets everywhere with like black, you know, plastic over them said Black Friday, and I'm like, who cares?
But no, so so everybody's in the store, but the deals don't start till 6 p.m.
Right.
So now you're standing there waiting. But they also, because the lines will get long, they block off like a part of the store near the checkout lines. So now everybody and their shopping cart has to go down these aisles. Like you can't go across.
Now,
you
see, that's
the
perfect
aisle.
Kill zone right there. That's
oh, yeah,
what you got to avoid.
Yeah.
See, because the other tribe, they'll just be waiting to pick you off.
But so then they put all the product in the middle and everybody has to like squeeze through with their carts. So that got a little crazy and we split up.
Now, see, if there was a hell... If there was a hell, that would be my perfectly designed hell.
You know what,
I swear to God.
Do you know what we got from Walmart, by the way, just for the record?
Underpants.
A shop vac.
Okay.
Like a wet, dry shop vac.
Right.
A stepladder.
Right.
And lights. Is that what you got, lights?
Yeah, I got lights for Ethan, yeah.
Like, that's the stuff
What
that
kind
we,
of lights?
Like, the LED lights. Like, all the kids, like, have them in their
rooms. Oh, right,
Yeah, so I got them those.
And then... The other thing that we did was we declared towel bankruptcy.
Well, that was the next day on
the next
Black
day
Friday.
We actually, on Black Friday, we did towel bankruptcy.
Okay, now you're going to have to explain that to me. Are there puddles all over your house where you're drip drying or what's
going
on?
No. Okay, so here's what towel bankruptcy is. You take
Don't
all the towels.
Towel.
Don't forget to bring your towel. No. What you do is you get rid of all the towels you own and buy brand new towels.
Right.
Okay.
So at JCPenney, they run the big bath towels on sale for like $4.99.
Okay.
And so but I'm a rewards member and I get a lot of his suit stuff there, like for work, his work clothes. So I get rewards. So I save up all my rewards until the end of the year. And so I had like $40 or $50 in rewards and I just bought all the towels we needed and it was like free.
This is so exciting. I mean, I can't think of a better show ever. Guy walks into a doctor's office.
Yeah.
Doctor says, you've got to quit masturbating. And the guy goes, why? He says, I need to finish the exam. There we go.
That was wrong. And then, now, on Friday night, I did something that we haven't done in a long time.
This I want to hear about.
So Kelly calls, because Kelly and Stephanie had the cleaning. They had cleanings on Friday.
Okay, because everybody listening out there in Radioland knows exactly who you know Kelly and Stephanie are.
Kelly, my wife. Stephanie, not my wife. So those two are.
Are you sure? Because you know, there's women in and out of here. I'm never sure who's your wife, who's your not. Wait,
it gets confusing.
A whole lot going on there.
Give it time. You never know what's going to happen. Currently, not my wife. But they had to go out and work hard that day. They had to go out and do a whole lot of stuff. And so they called and they had three deals that they were doing. One of the deals didn't work out exactly right, but it wasn't her fault. It was
And where did Kelly and Stephanie work?
Another girl fights the dust. So they're
and
doing
who else
cleaning.
Do they work with?
With me.
Danielle.
Hey.
We got to bring this around.
Right. All right. So at any rate, so Kelly calls and says, we want to go to the bar.
Do you mind if we stop and have a beer before we come home?
Right.
So when I thought about that, I'm like, you know what, man? We didn't have to go out today because I didn't have to work. Danielle worked, but just the admin stuff here. You know, she didn't do anything crazy. She definitely wasn't having to kill herself like these ones were doing. So we're like, you know what? Let's go to the bar with them. So right by the house, there's this place called like Backwoods Pub.
Backroads
Pub. Like this is literally in a
pretty much a name says it all, I'm thinking.
A D-level strip plaza around the neighborhood.
It's like a block and a half from our house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yo, yeah.
That is so nice. Yes. Yeah.
It has quarter.
Is that in that little strip center over there or is it the one over here?
The one by the post office.
By the post office? Yeah. Okay.
So, and it really is. It's just, it's a very, very
generic
space.
That's a perfect walk-home bar.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have Ethan and he can drive.
Right.
And they don't mind if we bring him. So now we have a designated driver all the time.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's awesome.
He must love that.
He actually does because now he gets to hang out with all the adults.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But he gets to drive everybody around.
Yeah. Well, and we're having to teach him some etiquette.
Right.
Like some etiquette things. So we are trying to teach him some bar etiquette stuff because he doesn't understand bar etiquette.
Right.
Not that he should understand bar etiquette, but he doesn't.
Because he's 16.
Well, that's all right. My 21-year-old last night at the bar tried to drink a bourbon drink through the cocktail straw.
Nah.
I said, son, no.
That's not what that's for.
No. Don't do that. Take it out.
So when we show up there, we show up at the same time that they do, and we have the impromptu night of drinking. Now, because of the diabetes and all this other stuff, like, I don't go out and normally put a bender on.
Well, yeah.
Because you're not, yeah.
But Friday night, though, put a bender on.
Well, I thought
you... Not drunk.
I thought your whatever, A1C or whatever, was to the point now where you're not even really diabetic anymore.
I'm in the pre-diabetic
stage. Okay. Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I have to...
So basically, you're every American at this point.
I think I'm better than average now.
Probably.
I definitely think I'm better than average right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't put those stories up for the show this week, but there's definitely the stories that you have about, like,
So you're drinking at the bar.
So we start drinking at the bar. We had a really good time drinking at the bar, and it was nice, too, because the girls were, the girls put in a hard day's work, but we met them at the bar. We all got drinking, and we had a good time that we haven't, I haven't done that in probably... 3 years, four years?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we've been so focused on work
right.
that we haven't like just gone out and just had fun in a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pool was a quarter.
Yeah, they played pool
for
a quarter.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, pool tables were a quarter. And they're not even crappy pool tables.
I haven't remembered that since the 70s, man.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I mean, it seems like it was always at least 50 cents for a game.
Yeah.
You know, and now these days it's like $2 or something.
Oh, it can be a lot.
Then we still have, and we have Ethan there, who's the designated driver, which
is
awesome.
He goes to Taco Bell for us.
We sent him to Taco Bell.
Oh, wow.
I know, it was the best.
Wow.
And he went and picked up just a 12-pack of tacos.
Which is all you need.
Right.
Yeah, for that many people,
yeah.
Everybody gets two tacos.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
perfect. So that's what we do. No, they played cheap pool, and we had drinks, and the drinks were pretty cheap. And then, I got to tell you, if you are a parent of a teenager... This is what you do because it has now like changed our lives. He can
well,
go
you have
out.
To have the right teenager because I know most would not want to do that.
But I mean, you're the parent. Just tell them this is what you're doing.
Right.
But no, I mean, it's great because this way it's like, you know what? We could all go for tacos. And he's like, well, I'll go. We're like, because I was like looking up Grubhub, like what delivers to this place from Grubhub.
Right.
And he's like, I'll just go wherever you want. I was like, really?
Wow, you are amazing.
Yeah, so he went and got us Taco Bell, and then we came back, and everybody had, a good amount to drink, and we haven't, Stephanie's husband came out, so, I mean, like, we just haven't had, like, fun with friends for so long, so it was so nice.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. And luckily, there was no surveillance that was going on that we knew about. No response to that?
I'm just leaving that dead air, man.
You're such a dick.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Guy walks into a sperm bank.
Yeah.
And, he's a little hungry, so he grabs a vending machine. He goes and gets a little those orange peanut butter crackers, and he's sitting there eating his crackers. He's like, damn. And he looks around on the nurse's station, and he sees a glass of milk. He's like, oh, God, perfect. I'm going to go drink that milk. Goes over there, drinks the milk, puts the glass back down, sits back down in the chair. Nurse comes back out. She looks at the empty glass, and she goes, oh. She points at that, and she sees he's the only guy in the waiting room. He goes, did you drink that? And he's starting to get scared. He's like, yeah, why? She goes, that was my milk.
Like instead of a cup of something else?
You're just such a dick. That was a dick. That was just being a dick.
These are like the worst jokes today.
Yeah. I love that joke. Well, the first one was actually a Henny Youngman. Oh. Yeah, so... Okay. And that's an homage. Henny Youngman, actually a friend of mine. So I put that out as an homage to him.
All right. All right. Well, let's get into the first story that we're going to talk about. And the first one
I wish I had another joke to just throw him off the segue again.
Yeah. So China surveillance tech seeks to go global. I mean, I'm sure you know about this anyway. But so Chinese firms are actually very present at the Paris just had a Homeland Security trade show. And because they are, perfecting their police state in China, they now want to expand this out around the world.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to happen. What you're seeing in China today will more than likely, most of it will be implemented in the U.S. within the next decade. And, you know, God, I feel like I sound like a broken record because I've been literally talking about this facial recognition, the real ID, how they're tying the biometrics with AI all together for a decade now. You know, we've been talking about it on air since 2011, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already coming here. In China, they are pushing it so hard. And there's, the funny thing is in China, they're saying, well, the people there accept it. They're okay with it. No, I don't think they are. It's just they don't have a choice.
Well, yeah, because if you said you don't accept it, they're going to kill you.
Yeah,
and harvest your organs,
or put you in a re-education camp, or if you
or both,
or if you're still semi-productive, they're just going to take away your right to travel, and you know, tell you where you can and can't buy stuff because they have the social credit system, and if your social credit score drops too low because you said, you know, I have concerns about privacy, which is one of the things that could cause you to lose your social credit score, then you can't, you know, you can't go to the grocery store, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Can't travel, can't get on a bus, can't get on a train, can't get on a plane.
Well, think about this. So here's the thing. So China, you know, known for its heavy police surveillance, with market research firm IHS Market estimating that it already has deployed 176 million cameras to monitor public spaces across the country. That number is expected to expand to 2.76 billion.
Million.
Or 2.76 billion with a B.
With
or nearly two
B?
For every citizen, yeah, by 2022.
Oh, my God.
That's what China is expecting to have in their own country.
Right. Wow. Well, already.
It seems like an awful lot of cameras.
Well, they're everywhere. They're
that way
everywhere.
There's like, nothing that they miss.
Right. I mean, like, are they in your house?
They probably are.
Because they would have, I mean, like 2.7 billion cameras is a lot.
Hold on. I hate to say this, but what do you think the TV we just bought is?
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. By the way, and this is to you guys and anyone listening, if you have a smart TV, and you're not going to want to do this because it's convenient, and I can do Roku, don't connect it to the internet.
Yeah, I already did that.
Yeah. Well, what you've just done is you've put a camera and a microphone in your house that can be accessed by hackers.
I know.
And more importantly, by the NSA. They absolutely have a backdoor into every smart TV in America. So the only real difference between China, and China is far more advanced on their surveillance state than the U.S. is, but the difference is they just don't make it public. In China, they're like, you know, hey, screw you, citizens. You don't have a choice. We're doing this. In the U.S., they do it very covertly, but I can tell you without a question that all the alphabet agencies have the ability to track down your exact IP address, because they know your SSID through your Wi-Fi. They know your IP address through your ISP. So they can say, hey, we want to see what Alex and Danielle are doing. They can literally remotely turn on your camera, turn on your microphone at any time they choose. Now, the only saving grace is that they probably won't do that, but they can. And at some point in time, they're just going to leave it on all day long and catalog it and store it just in case they ever need it, which is exactly what China is doing. And folks, you keep bringing this stuff into your home voluntarily, and you keep agreeing to the privacy policies voluntarily, because every time you hook up something like this, you just skip over, do you agree to the terms and conditions? Do you agree to the policy privacy? You say yes, yes. And in every single term and condition, in every single privacy policy that you buy with one of these products, it says that they are able to cooperate with law enforcement any way they need to. There's nothing in there about a warrant. Basically, you have completely signed away your Fourth Amendment right the moment you do that. If you go into my house, now, we do have a smart TV, okay? We have two of them, as a matter of fact. Neither of them are on the internet. They're completely air-gapped.
How do you get TV, though?
We actually pay for cable.
Cable is so expensive.
Right.
Like, here's the thing, and I mean, and this sounds like such a like crazy conspiracy and all that, but cable TV is like three times the price of a streaming service.
Well, here's one thing that you can do. If you want to actually have some layer of privacy and security and still have the smart TV functionality, what you can do is you can go out and get a VPN service and set the VPN up on your home router.
Okay.
So what that does essentially is all the traffic, as soon as it hits your router and goes to the next hop to the ISP, it's instead of taking that normal hop with a public, you know, identifiable IP address, it's going to actually go to your VPN. And if you have a good VPN that doesn't log traffic and, you know, doesn't do that sort of thing, there's no real way for someone to get back to you. Obviously, the NSA can figure out a way. So the safest way is to air gap your home. That's why there's no devices in my house whatsoever that can do that. And even my phone is, you know, has got two separate layers of security where it's almost impossible to find me. Other than, of course, through the cellular network they can, but you know what I'm saying. But you got to do those steps if you want to maintain your privacy. And my biggest fear is that at some point the American citizens are just going to give up on it. And I see it in the younger people. Younger people don't seem to care about privacy, you know. And I think we're just going to become China at that point. And we're going to have 2 billion cameras, like every Ring doorbell, monitoring us. And see, Alex, that is a good example of a segue, because just flowing in the conversation, I took it from all the cameras in the households to the camera in the doorbell, and now we can actually take it into the story that you wanted to go to next, which is Ring doorbells.
Yeah, yeah. So Ring doesn't have facial recognition, but some of the police actually want to add their own to it.
Just like at the bar I was at the other night. No, see, that's the example of a bad segue.
All right, so Amazon does not offer the ability. This comes from an article. So Amazon doesn't offer the ability to recognize faces and footage on its Ring doorbell cameras, but just 1 month after police in Chandler, Arizona, received 25 surveillance cameras for free from the company, the department then assistant chief discussed using its own facial recognition technology on Ring footage at a meeting of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, according to the slideshow obtained in a public records request. So the presentation was called Leveraging Consumer Surveillance Systems.
Right.
Like they're
there
doing,
you go.
Oh, no. You know, I wanted one of these Ring doorbells because I was like, that's really cool. I could see, you know, our kids are getting older. We leave them, you know, home alone because they're teenagers. You know, being able to see who's been at the door from my phone, I would like. But then I saw a post from our local sheriff's office saying they can help us with our Ring system and connect to it to keep us safer. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, so I don't want to get one, but
yeah,
but I mean, I can understand the convenience is there and
yeah,
it is nice, but
well,
yeah.
That's what they're doing now. Basically the privacy policy with Ring is the same thing. It says that they can, you agree that you will cooperate with law enforcement and allow them to use this footage. And even though the Ring itself doesn't have facial recognition technology inherent in it, the fact that law enforcement agencies can literally tap into all the Ring doorbells in a geographic area, once they have that footage feed, then they can run it through their facial recognition filter. So it doesn't matter that the Ring doorbell doesn't have built-in facial recognition technology. The fact that the, you know, sheriff's office or the FBI or, well, think about it that way, the FBI literally has access to every Ring doorbell in America, which, and I know there's people out there saying, well, you know, why is that a bad thing? Well, it is. Look, if you're trying to catch a criminal, then it is a good thing.
Right.
The problem is eventually we're going to become China. If you believe that government is trying to control behavior, this is going to be a tool to do that.
You know, because we actually were helping out teaching a class like twice a year at the Florida Atlantic University. And it was on cybersecurity, things like that. And, you know, we had someone say, well, you know, isn't this going to help catch criminals and things like that? Why is it a big deal? And I said, would you be okay with a police officer standing at your door, following you to work, following you into your home, following you as you're cooking dinner, sit there while you're on the phone and listen? And they were like, no, of course not. I'm like, but that's the same thing. Just because the government agency is doing it digitally doesn't mean it's not the same thing as them being right next to you, following you through your day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. In fact, in some ways, having a dude there seems more appealing. I'm serious.
At least if someone like tries to attack me, it's like, go get him. Did you
see
that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and not only that, it, you know, eventually you'd probably become friends and you'd be like, dude, be chill.
Right.
You know? Come on, let's go have a beer.
I'll make you dinner.
Right, exactly.
Well, then it makes it real.
Right. Exactly. It's a good analogy because people conceptualize that. When things are digital out there in the cloud, people don't understand what that means.
Right.
And really, you know, that's like I tell people, the cloud is just somebody else's computer. You know, and the fact that your video, your audio that they're recording of you is out there in the cloud, it just means somebody else is watching it.
Yeah. I mean, what we give up for convenience is, I mean, astonishing. I mean, we fought getting a smart TV for years.
Right.
But the price of cable was just so ridiculously expensive that we went to a streaming service, and having to have a separate box and everything else to get to a TV channel is annoying.
Well, I actually use streaming services. But when I do it, I have a laptop that I connect via HDMI to the computer. So essentially, if I want to watch something streaming, I'm doing it through a laptop, which, you know, is running an operating system, which I can totally control and ensure it really is private. Whereas if you run it directly through the TV, it's a closed operating system where, you know, the manufacturer, whether that be Samsung or Sony, whatever, controls that.
Yeah.
So you really, other than trusting the fact that you flipped the lever on privacy, which who knows, that means. So I want to know that, you know, if I'm, and again, there's no reason for this. You know, I'm watching Orange is the New Black or something. You know, who the hell cares? But the point is when I'm doing it, I'm going through a VPN. I'm running it in a Tor browser. Yeah. I'm completely anonymized. You know, that sort of thing, just because fuck you, government.
Yeah, well, you have to set that up on ours because we have now two smart TVs.
Yeah, well, you just, first thing is take them off the internet. Just disconnect them for your Wi-Fi. Or, you know, get, like I said, get a VPN and then set it up through your router. The problem becomes, though, is there's a lot of services out there that won't work with a VPN because they have to know your location. So it is kind of a catch-22. Like DraftKings annoys the crap out of me because I love to play fantasy football and all that. And I use DraftKings. And some states it's legal. In Florida, it currently is legal, but who knows with that friggin' legislature. But what happens is it blocks VPN traffic. So when I do that, I actually have to go through another. I have to trick the whole system into, first I have to obfuscate. Yes, I still can't say it. I know that word, and I've said it 1,000 times, but I think in the past week, I damaged the specific section of brain cells that knows
brain
that.
Cells yeah, that I killed those. Can't say it anymore.
But anyway, so you have to jump through a bunch of hurdles, sometimes with websites, in order to make it appear. And it's a technical learning curve. And if you're out there and you're not very tech savvy, I highly recommend you start looking into this and at least start putting in some, you know, medium layers of security.
We should give out your phone number so people can call you if they have questions.
No, don't do that.
I'm only kidding. I wouldn't do that. but
you know, actually,
but I will hold your phone number hostage for you to set that up at my house.
You know, actually, it's what I do for a living, and I actually charge people money for it. I probably should put out my phone number, but yeah, I'm not going to. You know, if you want to do business with me, you got to find me. You know, that's like the challenge.
And don't ask the government because he's hiding from them.
That's right. It's kind of like, you know, one of those secret bars where you got to know the knock. You got to find
the password.
It's a speakeasy. Yeah. God, I did fry some brain cells. By the way, did you know that shotgunning a beer, and I did this several times. Apparently, all the college students want to see parents shotgun beers. It's like the thing. But kids today hold the can horizontally instead of vertically.
Yes.
And they twist their neck around, like at a 45 degree angle, to hold this beer horizontally, and then they slowly tilt it up. And I'm like, why don't you just hold the can vertically? That's how we always did it. What the hell is the matter with you? Poke a hole down in the bottom corner and pop the top and boom, let gravity work. It's like, so I think our technique is better, but I was still much slower than them. Those guys were shotgunning beers in like 1.8 seconds.
Well, I got to tell you, I remember being young and you did not want your parents around. Like, you were just like, no, I'm going out. I'm going with my friends. I'm not going with my parents. But it seems like now it's super cool to bring your parents.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, he wants us up there for every game to tailgate, you know. The last time we were up there, Dawn was dancing and they were throwing Jell-O shots at her.
Yeah, yeah. like, it's, we'll be in the grocery store,
think,
and my son will be like, Mom, do this dance, and he'll, like, post it on Instagram, and all his friends are like, your mom's the best.
You know, I think they actually think that they're exploiting us.
I think they do.
But in reality, it's like, you know what? We were doing this long before you were born.
Right?
You ain't got nothing on us, guys.
You know? No, it's
in
like
fact,
this
if,
cool
if
thing.
Anything, you guys are kind of lightweights these days.
No, that's what it is.
But I actually think it's cool. You know, when most parents, like our parents, were like, oh, I miss my kids. They never come around. And, you know, our kids are like, I want you around all the time. You know, you actually have to say, like, no, I'm busy this weekend.
Yeah. Except my youngest has gotten in the habit of okay boomering me.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm not a boomer.
I know,
I'm Gen
either
X.
Are we,
I'm like way from Gen X. So I've come up. I've come up with the perfect response. I just say, okay, Tide Pod.
Oh, we may have to use that.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, because that's the one thing is we get that okay boomer, and both me and Alex,
yeah,
are
right.
Like, we're not boomers.
Right. We don't even care. We're sitting here eating popcorn, watching boomers and millennials go at it. You know, this is great.
Like, we're in the middle.
Yeah, not even
we hate you both.
Right. Oh man, so what were you talking about?
All right, well, hold on. There was one more thing that we had to talk about on the security front.
Okay, what was that?
Which is that the China is actually now introducing facial scans for the mobile users.
Oh yeah, well that's just another example. Yeah, so what they're talking about is when you go to get a new phone at the cellular store, before you can use that phone, you have to take a video of your face where you're looking straight ahead, looking to the side, just like a mugshot profile, open eyes, closed eyes. And that is your facial recognition capture, and that goes into a Chinese government database along with your phone number. So that phone number is tied to your facial recognition system. So in order to use that phone, and the reason they're doing it is because in order to use the phone, you have to show your face, and it has to be cleared by the government because part of the social score now is if your social score falls too low, before they put you in a camp and harvest your organs, they prohibit your cell phone use. So you can no longer use your cell phone because said, I like privacy.
But, what, I mean, know? Like, you can't just, like, if someone's stuck on the side of the road, you can't let them use your cell phone because
no.
It's not...
Well, you could, but
you'd have to.
It would be their face, so they'd have to scan their face.
Right.
I mean, I imagine you could scan your face and then hand it to
and
them,
then
and
hand
yeah,
them the
but
phone and...
but it's so invasive that yeah, it's
that's crazy.
Well, they just did it like 3 or 4 months ago. They said we're going to start using facial recognition for internet access. So you have to, before you go on the internet, you have to do a facial recognition scan to see if you're allowed to use the internet. And again, that's you know, that's communism. That's Chinese communism. And that is what, you know, a lot of people would be okay with. And a lot of people in power want here in the U.S. They want to be able to have that control where they can make sure that you're a good little citizen by whatever their definition is before you have access to anything.
But now what about, because we've been talking about the difference between, you know, the government control, which is what's going on in China, and now we're giving up stuff voluntarily here. What about the phones that you use your fingerprint or facial recognition to get into your phone?
I never recommend those. I always recommend using a passcode because think about it. You can be forced, you know, someone can hold your thumb to your phone. Someone can hold a phone in front of your face. Law enforcement could do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they could hold you down and hold the phone up to your face. Mm. You know, they could grab you, put you in cuffs, and put your thumb on the thing. However, if you have a passcode, and I don't ever recommend doing a 4-digit passcode, it's just too easy to crack. There's only 10,000 combinations. You know, do a 10-digit passcode.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Do a password. If you're going to do a pattern, make sure it's a really complex pattern. I mean, it should take you a minute to do it.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is you have to give up a little bit of convenience to protect your privacy, to secure your digital world. And to me, it's the sacrifice. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it just an absolute. But for some people, it's like I'm not willing to give up that level of privacy. You know,
or that
convenience.
Level of convenience.
Yeah.
I know.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be it's definitely the fight of the time.
But here's
and we're not
the thing.
Going against Clubber Lang. That's for sure.
Is that a segue? Oh, God, it is a segue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're so bad at that, dude. You're so bad at that. Clubber
Lang. I don't
even
know who Clubber Lang is.
He was, Clubber Lang was Mr. T in Rocky III, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yeah. Pain.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you literally,
I know, but our listeners
you
do.
Literally could have changed to Chinese right there, and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Still a better segue than anything Alex has done. Clever laid, man. I pity the fool.
I thought that was a street name.
Well, it kind of is, yeah.
Streetish.
Oh, Clubber Lane. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Clubber
yeah.
Lane, like I live like on the third house on Clubber Lane.
Clubber Lane, there is a black guy with a mohawk.
And a lot of jewelry, too.
Right.
All right, so in this week in Trump news, because you have to, again, this guy is the most amazing troll that you've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
This guy tweets a picture of himself with his head superimposed on a Rocky III poster, basically.
Poorly. No, poorly, by the way.
Yeah, wait. not well.
Like, yeah, this is...
No, it was Rambo.
No, it was Rocky.
Yeah, I think it was Rocky.
Like, I know you can't tell the difference, Danielle, but it was
oh,
Rocky.
Look, it's the gloves. That's how you know it's Rocky.
Yeah,
that's
right. And the champion
no,
belt.
I totally didn't get that when I saw it. I really did was like, I had no idea.
Because Rambo wears boxing gloves.
I have
the
no
movie.
Idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen either movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, you're an authority on the subject.
No, Clever
Lane. Yeah, so.
Now, hold on. I want to say this, though. He didn't retweet it.
No. That was an original.
He made it.
Right.
Or somebody that he knows made it, and he tweeted it out as it was coming from him.
Right.
I mean.
Like, maybe I didn't get it because I've never seen the movie, but like. Like, what does Rambo do in this movie that's so, like, the president would want to be like him?
Okay, so the whole thing
it's
actually
Rocky.
Had to
I,
do...
Come on. You gotta,
oh, yeah. No. I mean, Rocky.
You got to know the concept of Rocky.
I really don't.
Okay. He's a guy that gets beat up a lot and keeps getting back up. And then eventually wins.
Okay, you should. Okay, here's the thing. You got to watch. That's a cultural, like, you should watch the movie Rocky. Like, that's just dumb.
No, I've
that.
Never seen any...
Well, then, you know need, what, then...
You need to watch at least the first Rocky movie.
So for the next 5 minutes...
Actually, you should watch the first four. After that, it goes pretty downhill. And then you can come back with... what was the last one that he did?
Clubber Lang?
Balboa.
Oh, Balboa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then you can come back with... You can probably skip 5 and 6, I think. Yeah.
I have never, ever seen... The only thing I know about Rocky at all is the Adrian thing.
Adrian?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have no idea why anyone shouts out Adrian. I just know.
They do it to me all the time.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yo, Adrian.
Name,
yeah. Yeah. And you know, my response has been, you know, oh my God, I've never heard that. Yeah. That movie came out when I was 6. Yeah. So it was like pure hell for me.
All right. So the reason he tweeted this image of himself is that he was boasting that the doctor performing his physical had said, "Show me that gorgeous chest." Like, that's what
after he told him to stop masturbating.
He might have done that, I don't know. So he goes, "Show us that gorgeous chest. So we want to see, I've never seen a chest quite like it," the president claims the doctor told him. And again, though, look, this guy is the ultimate bullshitter. Like, everything says all the time is he's got the greatest chest.
But
look,
I don't know if he's serious or not. That's the beauty of it. It's like he's so narcissistic and so just
right, I don't know
crazy.
If he believes it or not.
Right. He could very well believe all this.
Yes.
You know? I think here's the thing. I think that personally he believes it all.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he absolutely does. He thinks that everything he does is the best. It's always the best. Everything is better than anything ever that anybody's ever done. And it's always just going to
be
that
way. Or it could just be his shtick. We don't know. It's one of the great mysteries of the universe.
So because of this, though, a couple things. One, now this picture, because he is such an amazing troll, they had this picture at a Hong Kong protest on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, someone who I actually think is a much more subtle but also very effective troll, Vladimir Putin, tweeted that he doesn't need to Photoshop his bare-chested photos.
Did he really tweet that?
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He put out a picture of him fishing at the lake hunting at a cabin last year, you know, just kind of lounging back with his shirt off, looking all tough, you know. And that's what he said, to something to the effect, I don't need to Photoshop my
pictures.
Which, you know, this is what government is, in my view.
Like,
that's literally right there. Those two photos sum up what I think how useful government is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not.
Right?
It's not.
It's infotainment at best.
But what, so, and look, and I think that Trump did this, all, and what I'm about to talk about, and the whole thing, he did all of this just to play the media. Like, just to play him. That's all he's doing it for.
I think he is. But I still question how much he really buys into it. How much is, like, I'm just going to totally fuck with him, or how much is, yeah, I am the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't know where that line
and,
is.
And, you know, he somehow became president of the United States, so it's hard to argue with that, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just a weird thing all around.
So, Trump did a surprise trip to Afghanistan.
Right.
But in the surprise trip to Afghanistan, he was doing things to kind of take the media off scent of doing things.
Right.
And also, and this is the media's own fault for doing this, is that because they want to make sure that they tell a negative story about Trump every day. They don't want to give him any positive stories whatsoever. They only want to do negative stories. So everybody is always going to do a negative story. So if you looked at the itinerary that Trump had, that basically he was going to be tweeting and golfing and all that kind of stuff, and he wasn't really going to be doing anything, right?
Itinerary tweeting.
His itinerary said tweeting. And none of the media stepped up to say, maybe this is not real.
Well, that's the thing with him. It could go either way. It could be a troll job, or it could be completely true, because we know he spends hours a day tweeting.
This guy ends up restarting peace talks with the Taliban and visiting the troops in Afghanistan. But because the media is so blinded by their hatred of Trump that they take any opportunity to talk shit about him and never, ever want to give him something positive to say about him, this is why you have a story as he's in Afghanistan where they just looked it up.
But they didn't know it yet.
No. By the time this article came out,
it had broken that he was in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. So go, how is Trump spending Thanksgiving? Tweeting, golfing, and more by this woman named Jessica Kwong or whatever. And then when they finally, like, I actually think they end up firing the woman. But when they finally corrected it later on, they left everything else the way it was. And at the bottom, well, he was actually in Afghanistan. Like,
so the story was still, he's wasting your money playing golf.
Right.
And then at the bottom, it was like, well, he was actually in Afghanistan.
So Donald Trump Jr.
I don't know what you do in that, you know?
Oh,
how do you correct it? Because
you have
everything's
to take it down.
Wrong.
Because everything's wrong. You have to take it down.
Take it down.
I think you have to leave it up for historical purposes and write a preface to this. At the time we went to print,
right,
we had an itinerary that said this, so it was based on this information, but it turns out that was a false itinerary intentionally used to mislead.
Yeah, at the top, yeah. So here's what it does. So Donald Trump Jr. says, fake news, gonna fake, and then puts fake news versus reality, and then the reality is he's given, you know, food to the troops.
Right.
He's giving stuff out. He's, you know, wearing his suit, you know, and all that. And then next to that is the Newsweek article that says, how is Trump spending Thanksgiving? So it goes there. And then Trump, in an effort to troll them even more, goes, I thought Newsweek was out of business.
Oh,
he will win re-election with more votes than he had the first time.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think he's going to.
I think it's a possibility.
The numbers are switched
out. He might.
Out.
He
like,
might.
They don't even,
who knows?
People don't, look, the majority don't even want to impeach him now. Like, this guy is, I wish I could explain it. Because my old.
I know, you can't explain it.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you what I can't explain. I remember my old boss. And my old boss was a guy from New York that could sell ice cubes to Eskimos, man. He was the most phenomenal salesman in the world. In so many different ways, not in negative ways, but in so many ways, Trump reminds me of him. And as many times as there was chaos around, he would always make it out, and he would always make it out on top. And I never could understand why. I look at Trump the same way. Like, this guy's just going to make it out on top. He's going to win re-election. He's going to win more states than he had. And you're going to be so mad at him. You're going to be pissed. You're going to be like, you asshole. But you're saying he's an asshole because he found a way to do it despite screwing everything up.
Well, I do hope he wins re-election. I honestly do.
For the comic relief?
Oh, yeah. It's more years of show material.
It is 4 more years of show material.
You barely have to do show prep.
Exactly. Yeah. So what did Trump say today? All right, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
But hang on a second. I recall specifically George W. Bush doing the exact same thing. But I don't remember how the media, if anything like this happened where they reported it, because he actually did. He put out a false itinerary, right. Sent his motorcade one yes. way. They actually put him on a different aircraft. Mm-hmm. And they had like one Air Force One land at one place, and they actually changed the call letter. So it seemed like, even though it was the presidential aircraft, it seemed like it was just flying on a non, you know, he wasn't on it. And they sent Air Force One on a different route, and they called that Air Force One, which is only supposed to happen when the president's on board. And they did all this so he could go to Iraq for Thanksgiving.
He went to Afghanistan.
Was it Afghanistan?
Yeah, because
Trump was
the first one to ever go into a war zone on at any president to actually go into a war zone, and it was last year on Christmas he went into Iraq.
That's not true. George H.W. Bush did it too.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he went into not where the war zone is. He went into where
demilitarization. Oh, okay. So not actually into a combat zone.
Not into a combat zone.
Okay. All right.
But either way.
But what I'm saying is this has happened in the past where they've gone to a country where we were invading, essentially, put out a false itinerary.
Right. Well, and they have to, because it's so dangerous, not only for them, but for the troops that they're going to visit if everybody knows they're going there.
Right.
Because if everybody in the world knows they're going there, so does the people who want to kill them.
Right.
And so it not only puts the president in danger, but it puts everybody, all the troops all around, because even if you don't say, oh, he's going to land here, they're going to attack everybody.
Right.
Because you could be attacking the president.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's just you have to do that. You have to fake it that you're going somewhere else. But the fact that he did this, you know, and sent his motorcade to the golf course and all that, and to still not have the mainstream media saying, oh, no, he went to Afghanistan. It took them so long to actually say it.
Right, right. Yeah, and that is true.
There were pictures out hours before.
Yeah, and I think the media of the, you know, George W. Bush administration or the G.H.W. Bush administration would have been a lot more, I think they would fact their checks a bit more. They would have been a lot more reserved with how they would
fact their checks.
They would have fact their checks. Yeah. fact your checks, people, because you never know. But that sort of thing. Yeah. I don't think they would have run with a story like this. But it also, it goes to Trump's point, is the fact that Newsweek has been on the verge of bankruptcy for a long time. And I bet you that reporter is kind of a freelance contributor type. And they just, you know, because they can't really hire as many reporters, they just have people doing that.
Oh, here's the thing. Okay. No, you're absolutely right about that. I don't think that they have their print version anymore. I think all they have is the online version on Newsweek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
there's no print Newsweek.
I don't think
anymore?
There's a print Newsweek
I
anymore.
I think it's been a long time.
Yeah, you don't even see magazines anymore. Nobody reads magazines anymore. You know, except Cosmo, I think.
And Reason.
Reason?
Yeah.
Reason. Well, in the circles you travel, yeah.
So I think that what you have is they definitely wouldn't have done the story the same way that they would have with Bush. And the reason why is that the media wasn't nearly as vindictive against the president as this president.
They were a lot more professional.
Because we had a president that was a lot more professional, too. Like, it takes two to tango.
Well, that is true.
I guess he was.
Oh, he
in
was.
In the five-year-old way.
I mean, he said some pretty dumb stuff,
well,
too.
When you compare Bush to Trump, you can't even compare the two on a professionalism level, because Bush was 100 times better than Trump.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you have these two, like, they're two completely different people, but the media is also completely different right now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
they
is.
Are going. Look, they are going
America's
after
completely
Trump.
Different.
Well, that's true too.
Yeah.
But they're going after Trump more than they've ever gone after a president before, because Trump, in all reality, they feel like they're defending themselves because they feel that Trump has gone after them. Which there's some truth to that too. Not that it's not undeserved, though. The thing is this: it's deserved. I think it's definitely deserved with what the media does, with the mainstream media, what they do. They do such a horrible disservice to the country when it comes to, you know, they try to propagandize people instead of just giving out information and the facts and letting people make up their own minds. Like, they've gotten such an arrogance and a hubris about it that it took a person like Trump to knock them down a notch to show the American people who they truly are.
Well,
like, the facade's gone now.
Well, the facade on everything is gone.
And
I mean,
Trump's done that.
Look, it's the same reason people don't wear suits to court anymore. It's all that. In some ways it's a good thing. In other ways it's going to be the demise of the country as we know it. We no longer take anything seriously. There's no longer anything that we treat with reverence. Hell, I'm as much a play. I'm irreverent about everything. So, but I wear a suit to court. Go figure that.
Well, because here's the thing: when it comes to your freedom,
right?
You take
yeah.
that.
That's
one
the one
a
thing I
bit
take
bit
seriously.
Seriously.
That is true. Yeah.
Well, you probably still have some standards too.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, that's a good word to use. We have lowered our standards.
Right.
Of everything, mm-hmm. you know, how the media should act, how a president should act, how people in public should act,
yeah.
how, you know, people of Walmart should act.
How your kids act.
Yeah, how your mm-hmm. kid, everything. We've lowered our standards across the board.
Yeah.
And it's going to get to a point where it's so low that, you know, it's just idiocracy, man. I mean, that's one potential outcome. Fortunately, AI will take over and you know, kill most of us before that happens. You know, so there is that silver lining.
I think it'll be a little more like iRobot than Idiocracy.
No, I think it's going to be, yeah, I think we're going to be closer to Idiocracy. I do. I think that's probably more realistic. Then iRobot's going to come along and clean house and
clean
we'll start over. There is always hope of the, you know, the big solar flare that wipes out all our technology. That would be the best case scenario, though.
It probably would end up being the best.
It totally
scenario,
would.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I mean, it would force us to actually be human beings again and work with each other and treat each other with respect and, you know, for our own mutual benefit again. But, you know.
You know, it's odd, you know, because we were Black Friday shopping and I was out with, first I dragged Alex out, but then, he, you know, you could tell he was kind of done. And so he came back, but I still had to get a couple things. No, because Walmart was kind of crazy and you were like, I'm ready to get out of here.
Okay, but I was nice
second.
To everybody.
Walmart
though.
Was kind of crazy on Black Friday is like the understatement of the decade in my
But no,
opinion.
I think I actually did very well.
No, you did very, very well.
Did you kill anyone?
No, I was actually not. Look, here's the thing. I was nice to everybody.
No, he was.
That's
like, I was in a good mood.
No, he was.
Like,
he
I was.
Was
in a good mood. But I didn't care.
I just, I, did.
I didn't, look, I just didn't care
Were
at all. Hold
high?
On. Let me,
what was going on?
Here's the thing. I didn't care, and I just wanted to be nice to people because I'm just like, you know what, man? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm not trying to compete for any of this stuff anyway. Like, I don't care.
No, I'm not even saying that you were done, like you didn't want to be around people.
Go ahead. Finish.
I was saying you wanted to come back for more leftovers.
Well, that's true, too. There was a lot of leftovers.
Okay, all I got to say is I drove within 100 yards of a mall parking lot, and it stressed me out.
No, I don't want to make it sound like he was like done, like he didn't want to be out there and around people. It was just like we've been out there for a while, and he had, you know, there was leftovers at home, and it's like I'd like to get home.
Right.
No, here's the thing, and the traffic was getting, traffic was definitely getting on my nerves. And the reason why the traffic was getting my nerves because nobody was driving correctly. Like you're almost, some people just drive stupid for no reason at all.
Right.
Like, and this didn't happen at the same time, but like I'm going down a 6-lane road. Somebody made a U-ey.
Right.
And I'm the only car for a while. And the person that made the UE just made the UE into the lane I was in.
Right.
Like, why would you do this? Why would you
yeah,
make
take,
the UE there?
Take one more lane. Move
yeah.
over one lane.
Like, you have
yeah.
three options to choose from.
Right.
Just pick the one all the way to the right or all the way to the left. Don't do the one in the middle. That's where I'm at right now.
Right.
At any rate.
But, so anyway, so he comes home, but I still had a couple things to get. So Kelly came out with me.
Right.
And Kelly comes out with me and we're shopping and she's like, oh, it's so nice. Everybody's so nice the day of Thanksgiving when they're out there. Now, nobody was nice. Everybody was bumping into each other and things like that. But because when they would hit you with their cart, they go, oh, I'm sorry. Kelly looked at it like the whole world was just so polite.
Well,
but it's
I can see both angles. Yeah.
But have we lowered our standards so much? That's what we're saying. You know, we've lowered the standard of like what we expect behavior
right.
from people. Have we lowered our standards so much that the fact that says that someone said, I'm sorry for hitting you with my cart is like, wow, you're so polite.
Well, Black Friday etiquette. That sounds like it. I've never in my entire life gone shopping on Black Friday. I think I might have maybe like with my grandparents when I was 8 or something like that. And, you know, so that would have been like in the mid-1970s.
But you just save so much money.
I don't see that. Honestly, the way I shop, like, for example, I needed a new monitor rig. I had monitor issues and it just, you know. And for my main computer that I do my business on, I do it like either a triple or a quad monitor rig. So I just bought myself a new triple monitor rig with 24-inch monitors, ViewSonic. I spent a total of $230 on three monitors in the stand. High resolution, high contrast monitors, HDMI.
Yeah, because nobody's buying that as a Christmas gift for anyone.
Well, I'm just saying, if you...
Well, like, yes, you're definitely right. That was not cheaper on Black Friday because nobody else but you cared about that.
It might have been. No, it might have been.
No, there's no way. I mean, I spent like $66 per monitor and $40 for the stand.
Well, when did you do that?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So, or 3 weeks ago.
But I'm saying if you have like, you know, Alex wears dress shirts, they're normally $40 a piece.
Right.
Well, they were $9.99.
Right.
He always needs more.
But that's what I'm saying.
So getting them for a fraction of the price, 25% of the normal price.
But you
price,
can find those deals always. That's what I'm saying. You can always find a deal like that.
Okay. Here's the difference. You can always find a deal always.
Right. Not in the same place necessarily, though.
But like those shirts in particular, the cheapest you were going to find them another time was $20.
Right.
Like it's another half off of that.
Because it's not only that it's the shirt, you know, it's a dress shirt. There's one particular brand of one particular size that fits him the most comfortable.
Okay. If you're looking for that particular product.
So that is like he has a bunch of different shirts from other brands, but those he loves. They're comfortable. He can go out when he's working and he really feels like this is comfortable and it's breathable. He enjoys the shirt. So if you're looking for those kind of deals, I just got it for 75% off, which I would never get any other time of the year, and he gets more work shirts.
But here's the other thing, too, though. If you have to sit there and wait in line for 8 hours at a clip, though, by no means am I even remotely suggesting that that's something that you should do. But
I'll pay the extra $10 to not have to stand in line.
But I will say this, like... Don't go when the rush goes. Go after the rush is over with because...
Then they're all gone.
No. That's the thing. If you go after things that aren't going to go away, that are just going... Like, there's the deals where they're short the quantity on.
That's
but then there's
video
deals
games,
that they're not
TVs.
Shorting the quantities on.
Right.
And most of the deals, they're not shorting the quantities on.
Right.
Because they're not going to sell out. Because, look, how many people are buying shirts, by the way? How many people are buying towels, by the way? Like, they're not running out of those items. They're running out of the electronic items. That's really what they're running out of. But that's because...
Which I find ironic because I've found you can always find electronics. You can always find a phenomenal deal.
And I have not bought the electronics like that on Black Friday, but stuff for the home goes so cheap that I will wait all year. We've been talking about towel bankruptcy the whole year. And I'm like, no. Towels are too expensive right now. I literally have said that this year. Towels are too expensive right now. But then all of a sudden it hits Black Friday. I've saved up all my rewards. They're free.
Like, and don't get wrong, the towel bankruptcy, like, it does so many things to help my OCD when it comes to, like, you know, to the laundry. Like, it really does, because then all the towels will fit the exact way, so you can fold them all
the same color.
They're all the same color. Like, they're all, like, they look good. Like, it looks good in there when they're full, and so I'm good.
You're listening to Shopping and Home Tips.
All right, but hour number one is in the bag now at this point, though.
It's in the can.
It's in the bag.
It's in the can.
So hour number
one
is in
the bag is what you were last night.
I wasn't in the bag last night. It was the night before.
Right. Night before, yeah.
So, but we do have hour number two coming up, which will be behind the paywall. So in order to listen to hour number two, you do have to be subscribed to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/unattendedbaggage. You do have to go there. We are going to be talking.
Well, hang on a second. We need to talk about this. Alex and I actually took a little bit of profit for the first time ever this month.
Yeah.
We got $50.
That's right.
$50. And let's do the math real quick. What episode is this?
21.
So that means we've done 42 shows. So that means we're earning about $1.08 per show.
Nice.
Wow. I don't think we've ever made so much money doing radio.
This seems like a very profitable venture for you guys.
We're each actually earning essentially $1 an hour.
There you go.
$1 an hour.
$1 an hour.
There you go.
That is not too shabby.
So if you would like to help us in the ability to increase our profit revenue.
Folks, help us earn a living wage.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You can go to patreon.com.
We're going
to
clam it.
/unattendedbaggage.
Patreon.com/unattendedbaggage.
We'll see you on the other side.